Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Grab my notes. I titled this today, What Do I Do Now? Matthew 6. We'll read the verse. Wonderful verse. A comforting verse and a challenging verse. You guys all know this verse, but we'll read it again. To start off with, Matthew 6. And it says in Matthew 6, if I get to it here, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Right. I was thinking, sort of along the lines which we're sharing with Vijay a little bit, about there are a lot of times in life where you are making plans, you have decisions to make, you don't know what to do, which way to go, what direction to take in whatever category of life. And so you ask yourself the question, what is the best thing to do in the situation that I'm in, whether it's, you know, a relationship or work or job or whatever things we face in life. And really, it might seem very, very basic, but why not seek God's counsel? Right? Here we're in Matthew 6, says, "Seek ye first," and the challenging part of this verse is seeking first the kingdom of God. The blessing part of it is that all these things shall be added unto you. Right? So the challenge to you and me is to seek him first. How? Seek him first in every way possible. Because a lot of times, men, and we all get into it, is we try to figure out what it is that we want to do, and we figure out, this is what I want to do, and this is the way I want to do it. Now, God, can you help me do that which I have decided to do? Right. Which is fine. God will help us. But realistically, why don't we seek his counsel? If I have a decision to make, if I've got a direction to take, if there's something that's on my mind that I have to decide about, I should... You know, we're believers here. I should want his counsel. I should want to know what it is that he would have me to do. And let's go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. There's a good reason why we should want his counsel. And Proverbs 19 tells us that reason. Hopefully, this is what those people were doing all those years, waiting on God and his counsel. In 19:21, it says, "There are many devices in a man's heart," and I can vouch for being a man. This man is exclusive. It doesn't mean just men, women too, right? There are a lot of things we want to do, right? We get a lot of ideas, a lot of things that are obvious, but really... It says, "Nevertheless, despite the fact that there are many things in a man's heart, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." So if I got a choice between my counsel, which may or may not stand, right, and God's counsel, which we know shall stand, right, I should probably want to seek that counsel. Right? Because then if I make the decision based on what the information God provides, I know it's going to work out. Because that will stand, right? God's not going to say to you, "Well, why don't you try this, see what happens?" Right? No. Right? That shall stand. And we see it, you know, how many records in God's word do we know of where people sought God's counsel? And in fact, you know, basically the entire walk with God from day one is all God saying, "Listen, just do what I ask you to do and everything will be okay. I'll bless you, I'll take care of you, I'll protect you." Tells Israel, you know, when you get to the promised land, don't forget who got you there. You know, I mean, it's my paraphrase of a whole section in God's word, but don't forget who got you there. Remember that I did this for you. By the way, here's a couple of things you might want to do every once in a while, like the Passover and all this, to remember that it was me who did all those things, right? That's all. And God asks us to walk with him and to remember what he's done for us, to seek his counsel, right? So what's the best thing to do when I have a decision to make? Let's see if God has any input he might want to give me. In Isaiah 55, while we're in the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, I know these are all new verses you guys have never heard before. I know. I understand that. So, Isaiah 55. Because there are things, you know, that we can do day by day to seek Him and to get to understand. Like, you know, if you ask your question, what do I do now? Well, there's some suggestions in these verses. Matthew 55, verse 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts." And I always respond in my mind saying, thank God. Right? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither, because my thoughts would not help you guys very much most times. "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Right? Which is great, right? "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I always think about the children when we talk about this. And, you know, when the kids were 1 or 2 years old, you know, if I tell them, don't do this or do this, that information coming from me as a father or from you as a father comes from having a perspective of overall perspective of life, a little bit of a perspective of life that we have, right? So when I tell a kid, don't touch the stove, it's because I might have touched something hot in my life and I remember that was a dumb thing to do, right? And that it might hurt them. Or to say, you know, when you get to university, don't hang around people who are ungodly. That's not a good thing to do. And then maybe then by that point, I hope they understand why. But if they don't, if they were just to accept my counsel, it would probably bless them. Because as you're older, you have more perspective on life and you think you know much. And yet God says, wait a minute, my ways are much higher than all that. Doesn't matter how much experience, how much you know in life, it doesn't matter who you are, God's ways are still higher than all that. You know, He sees the overall perspective. That's the decision that I want to make. I want to do what He thinks is going to bless me, you know, 20 years from now, not just in the next half hour, right? That too, but you know what I'm saying. The reason we seek God is because He has the overall perspective. He knows what life is. He made it, right? He's the one who started this whole thing. So we should be interested in knowing what His perspective is on life. Verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven," even though it didn't at Christmas this year, that's okay, "and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud." You see that the rain and the precipitation is talking about, it actually does stuff. When it comes down, it causes things to happen, is what God is getting at here, right? "That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be." This is why we want to seek His counsel, because He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." See, when you seek God's counsel, the results of what happens is what God intended and what God wanted. And since He's God, that's probably a good thing to happen. Right? So that's why this is another way of saying, that shall stand, right? Because it does what He prospered. Now, I might have desires and things I want to get done, or but when I go to Him and say, Father, what is it that You want? Right? What would You have me do? And then the results, you know what? It'll be even better than I could have possibly imagined, right? Because He has the overall perspective. Right? I might do something that I really wanted and do it all my might and see the results. Great. But what if I had sought Him and He said, well, instead of doing this, why don't you do this and this, or whatever, you know, whatever He counsels us to do. I don't want to get into the specifics here. Verse 12, "For you shall go out with peace, with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth there before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands," and so forth, right? See, all the blessings of God. It is imperative for each of us as believers in the one true God and His Son Jesus Christ to learn how to walk with God, right? Daily. It is important for us to learn how to walk with God. Secondly, it's important, and that includes, I shouldn't say secondly, that includes learning how to hear his voice, right? How to know when he is directing us to do what he would have us to do. You know, if we ever have a question, well, what do I do now? That's what I was titling the teacher. What do I do now? Well, what you could do, maybe it's 10 minutes at a Tim Hortons, right? Or it's, you know, 20 minutes at, what's a really slow place? I don't know. Wherever you're standing in line, whether you're going to the water fountain, whether you're sitting at your desk, whether you're doing the dishes, you know, kids complain about doing dishes. Well, why not look at an opportunity to learn how to walk with God and hear his voice? Doing dishes? Certainly, God would never talk to you when you're doing dishes, right? That, of course, you might think that. But you know, all I'm trying to say is that every day of your life, you have the opportunity to learn to walk with him, to hear his voice. Why wouldn't you do the dishes with God's fellowship? Right? Heck, do them without her. Just do the darn dish, never mind. Right? It doesn't matter what you do, right? You can make it an opportunity to trust him and to learn to walk with him, or you can just be something you do. You know, it's just that, oh, I hate doing this. I hate doing this. I hate doing, you know, it's up to me. And all I'm saying is we have the opportunity and the blessing for everything we get involved with to learn to walk with him and to hear from him, or just do it. And I'd rather choose the former, right? To learn to walk with him. Look at James chapter 4. James 4. Hebrews, James. This is another one of those confronting scriptures. It's another way of saying that man thinks of a lot of things, but the counsel of the Lord is what stands. In James 4, 13, we read, "Go to now, or come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain." You know, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, and move over there, we're going to set up this thing, and do this website, and do all that, and get this going, right? God says, wait a minute, verse 14. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow," we just read in Matthew 6, don't worry, don't take undue thought, God knows, right? So God knows, again, lines up with Matthew 6, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say," you know, instead of saying, I'm going to do this, isn't this? God says that ye ought to say, "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." I mean, there's both ways to do it. I can decide I'm going to do this. I'm going to go down full blast and say, "God bless what I've already decided to do," right? Or I can say, "What do you want me to do, Father? Here's some desire, here's some things I like." Talking to God, seeking his counsel. And then God says, "You know what? This would be the best thing to do." And in order for God to say that to you or to indicate that to you, guess what you've got to be able to do? Hear from God. That's why if you're looking for something to do on a daily basis, let's learn to hear from him. Let's learn to get the information that he wants to give to us. That's the counsel of the Lord. Right? First of all, we ought to know his word. Of course, to start, it's right here, black and white. Red. You can read it, right? You can read it all you want. You can get all this. It's here. But there are situations, you know, that this doesn't cover the specifics of a situation. You know, Dale, we were talking about the time when Jesus Christ healed those blind men, right? Mm-hmm. How many different ways were there? Right? Right? Yes. How many multiple ways did he heal the blind man? You know, because I've heard teachings where they say you don't have to have information in order to heal somebody. You know, I've heard that, but that's a little bit difficult to reconcile with those five healings, isn't it? Right? Why did he, one case, put mud in the man's eyes? Why in one case did he just heal? Why in another case did he cast out a spirit for a specific situation? Because he had the information, right? If I want the counsel of the Lord, I got to know his word, and I got to know how to hear from him. If you want to do something interesting, this is a time of setting resolutions, 2016, how about resolution on your list? Learn to hear from God better, right? So the next January, you can say, you know what? This and this, I learned to walk with him more, right? I learned to hear from him. Yeah, here, we're at verse 16. Did I finish reading that? Yeah, 16. For you ought to say, yeah, we're done. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I always often think of the manifestations in this light. You know, for those of you who are instructed in the 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit, it is interesting the way God designed those. With a godly design, almost, right? Almost. You know, if you think about tongues, speaking in tongues, when you speak in tongues, well, do you have to think about anything? Right? In fact, it's better if you don't think about anything. So the first time God, you know, you learn about God and you learn from the Word of God, it says you can do this, you can speak in tongues, you say, okay, Father, that's great, I'll try that out. And then here you are, speaking in tongues. Right? Hadn't had to think too much about anything. You got the right word. God gave you the words to, you know, to speak. And you read His words. Oh, yeah, I can. And you read it and you speak in tongues. And then, the Word of God talks about interpretation of tongues. Well, when you interpret tongues, what are you doing? You're speaking in tongues, and then the first time you're kind of nervous because what happens if the word's not there? You know, I say something like, you know, some stupid, you know, love the government or something. You know, whatever. You get a little nervous, but you speak in tongues. But the way God designed it, you speak in tongues, and then you interpret. You interpret, and then the words come, and you go, "Wow, this is neat. God, I can see how God works in me." And then you say, "Oh, now God said, let's step up a little bit, and forget the run up with the tongues, and let's just go right into prophecy, right? Because you've learned to walk with Him. You've learned how God works in you. You have the Spirit of God. Those words didn't come from you." You've learned that, right? So then you go to prophecy and go, that's wonderful. And then the next 3 manifestations, you know, in the revelation, discerning of spirits, you know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. What are they all about? What is the purpose of all those manifestations, right? Anybody? Very good. Getting information. It's all about getting information from God, whether it's about spirits, whether it's about specific information that you can't get by your 5 senses, or what to use that information for. It's all about getting information. We ought to know reliably how to operate those manifestations so we can get the counsel of the Lord. And then the interesting part is the next 3 manifestations. What are they? Faith, miracles, healing. If you remember that, you know, I'm not going to go into the definitions of them all, but the last part of the definitions of those manifestations is that you do those things, whether it's operating faith, operating miracles, or healing, based on information that has just been received. So the point of me saying this is, what do you have to get? Information, right? Information. So, you know, if I want to study how to do miracles, it might benefit me to go look at God's Word and learn how to receive information. Right? Not saying it's wrong to go study. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is, you see how God has designed that. Because when it comes to revelation manifestations, now you're not speaking in tongues. Now you're learning how the information just comes to you. And you've built the trust. You've learned how to walk by tongues, interpretation. Now you know, this is cool. I like this. God, you know, this is a great thing we got going here, right? God has going. And you go, okay, I can receive and God can work in me. Now He's going to give you information quietly, silently, or whatever else He chooses to do, right? Then you learn to trust it. And then you get the count. So if you want to work on that, you know, that'd be a great thing to do, standing in line or doing dishes. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or behavior, in love, in spirit is not in the text, in believing, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. Paul wrote Timothy, take care of yourself. Take heed unto yourself. Right? In other words, you know, if you read the rest of Timothy, he said, you know, you don't get caught up in the things of life all the time to the neglect of your walk with him. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself first and them that hear thee. The order is very important. You take heed unto yourself. Right? What's the doctrine? Well, do you get up in the morning and do you read a bit of God's word? You pray, thank God, speak in tongues when you're quiet time. It's very simple. It's a very simple life. It's not complicated, right? If I have a need, do I go to the Word of God and say, well, Father, where does it say this, anything in here about this need that I have right now? Where do I look? If I don't know where to look, I should ask somebody, where do I look? And if you don't know that beyond that, then say, okay, here we go. God has given me Holy Spirit. I need information. Right. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The thing I love about this section, and we'll close in Ephesians, is that God covers all of life here in a very simple way. Ephesians 5. Verse 1 says, therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So the exhortation in the latter part of Ephesians is to walk on what we've learned. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So there's a lot in here about walking, that daily walk, right? To walk with him. For the fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit, yeah. The fruit of what? The Spirit, right? Is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. You stay away from all that junk. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Not just getting involved, but even talking about it. Right? Stay away from it. But all things that are made reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're to understand the will of the Lord, the word of God, and information we receive. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we're ever wondering, how could I be a better husband or a better wife or a better child or a better boss or a better worker or whatever, you know, here's a section for us. God covers all those areas of life. How do you get better at it? Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or reverence of God. It always starts with the reverence of God. That's where it all starts, reverencing God. So if I want to be a better husband, my first responsibility is to do what? Reverence God. Better wife? Reverence God. Child? Reverence God first. Learn, get to know His counsel. If I'm in a marriage, I am. If I'm in a marriage, because I'm married, I was speaking for everybody, hypothetically. You know, if you're married, and you want to know how can I make my marriage better, right? Step one: reverence God. Wife, how to make reverence God? If you're working at your computer all day, how can I get better at this? That's good. I was waiting for someone to catch on what I was saying. You know, reverence God first. Right. Didn't we just say if we seek Him first, that all these things shall be added unto you? Didn't we just read where it talks about it's His counsel that shall stand? But God doesn't know anything about computer programming. Yeah, you're right. That's beyond His capability. Right. Or nursing, or you know, mechanical engineering, or I'm looking around the room here. You know, designs. you know, painting, whatever we're doing, you know, God probably has a clue about how to do it better. So let's keep reading here. Or verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto who? The Lord. So a wife doesn't know. First, she has to understand how to submit unto who? The Lord. First, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as what? Christ is the head. A husband has to understand how Christ is the head. See, everything you do, it's not just some, here's some little things you do. No, it's all based on reverencing God first in our lives. Doesn't matter what we're doing. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. So before a wife learns to be subject to her husband, what does she have to understand? How the church is subject unto what? Christ. We got to know God's counsel. It's all based on God's counsel. All of it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ. Okay, let's start loving. Now, maybe I want to understand how Christ loved the church first before I did that. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing water by the word. Let's go down to verse 20, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In what? It doesn't just say blindly obey your parents. It says in the Lord, right? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that your parents won't kill you. That's what it says, that it may be well with thee and thou may live as long, right? Not directly, but you see. So the point is, reverencing God, they reverence God. If a child reverences God or is taught how to reverence God, then the obedience to the parents is simple. But if it's all based on, oh, my parents are always telling me what to do and God is completely out of the picture, it gets it's much harder, right? It just becomes a chore. But if it's based on reverencing God, well, that's what I ought to do. Right? That's what you should do. Simple. Verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't keep, needling them to the point that they don't even want to serve God anymore. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If I want to bring up my kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I have to understand the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, everything he's telling us here to do is based on understanding the will of the Lord, his counsel. His counsel underlies our lives, right? Our daily lives, decisions we got to make, specific circumstances, God's counsel underlies it all. So if I want to learn how to walk with him, if I have a few extra minutes or a few extra hours or days or weeks, I ought to spend time learning to walk with him, because the decisions I make based on his counsel are going to stand. The blessings are going to be many. Verse 5, servants, people who work, people are working, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto who? Christ. Not just blindly obey the people that are your bosses. It's telling you, do it the way you understanding that you're serving Christ first before you serve your master. Not with eye service, verse 6 there it says, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ first, right? Doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service as to who? The Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, whether it's to your boss, whether it's a husband to a wife, wife to a husband, children to their parents, right? The same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither with the respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right in the next part here. Now, we could read it, but you guys know the section, chapter 10 through 18, where it talks about the whole armor of God. Let's just read a bit of it there. Put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And with this we is talking about everybody, okay? Children, parents, bosses, workers, everybody. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's encouraging all of us to take on the whole armor of God. And that includes, that, and basically that's knowing what his counsel is. whether it's the Word of God, which the next verses talk much about, or getting the information we need in specific circumstances. Both make up the counsel of the Lord. And I guarantee you, in dealing with the what it says in verse 12, against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, we'd better have the counsel of the Lord. Because they're not stupid. They're a lot smarter than most believers. So in order to combat them, what does it say? Be strong in who? In your ability and all the things you know? No, in the Lord. To seek His counsel. To get the information that God would have you to know. Right? So if you're ever, you know, wondering, what do I do now? Where can I go? What, you know, I got a decision to make. Or if you want to know how to be a better employee, father, mother, daughter, child, or need deliverance, or, you know, whatever, why not take the time to learn to walk with Him? Learn to hear His voice. You know, and that certainly means starting off with knowing the Word of God first, right? Knowing His Word, and then learning how to hear His voice. You know, if we're not comfortable with the manifestations, well, learn. Talk to somebody. Start getting more comfortable with them. I mean, they're meant to be here until the Lord comes back, and we ought to be very concerned in our lives by learning how to walk for Him day by day and growing in our ability to do that, right? So what now? Wash those dishes, but wash them with Him in mind, right? Do your work, but do it with Him in mind, right? Go to the Word, asking God to show us, Father, what do I need to understand? How do I walk with You? How do I hear from You? So it's imperative. It is imperative for every believer who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to grow in their ability to believe and walk with God. So what do we do now? Well, basic, right? Just go to God and let's seek Him first. Seek His Word and learn how to walk with Him. And then the rest of life, whether you're a child or a father, mother, worker, all that stuff, you know, will be based on God's counsel. And that's going to stand. And that's going to be the blessing to you and to everybody around you. Right? So, that's that. Let's kill this.